despised and gory, I joy to call thee mine. What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine but deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor, and grant to me thy grace. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee. Be thou my consolation, my shield when I must die. Remind me of thy passion when my last hour draws nigh. Mine eyes shall then behold thee, upon thy cross shall dwell. My heart by faith enfold thee, dies well.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We confess our sins. O Almighty God,
merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner,
confess to you all my sins and iniquities,
with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning.
O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer.
And by night, but I find no rest.
Yet you are holy,
enthroned on the praises of Israel.
In you our fathers trusted.
They trusted, and you delivered them.
To you they cried and were rescued.
In you they trusted and were not put to shame.
But I am a worm and not a man,
scorned by mankind and despised by the people.
All who seek me mock me.
They make mouths at me. They wag their heads.
He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him.
Let him rescue him, for he delights in him.
Yet you are he who took me from the womb.
You made me trust you at my mother's breasts.
On you was I cast from my birth.
And from my mother's womb, you have been my God.
Be not far from me.
For trouble is near, and there is none to help.
Many bulls encompass me.
Strong bulls of Bashan surround me.
They open wide their mouths at me.
Like a ravening and roaring lion.
I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint.
My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast.
My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws.
You lay me in the dust of death.
For dogs encompass me.
A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet.
I can count all my bones.
They stare and gloat over me.
They divide my garments among them.
And for my clothing they cast lots.
But you, O Lord, do not be far off.
O you, my help, come quickly to my aid.
Deliver my soul from the sword.
My precious life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the mouth of the lion.
You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen.
I will tell of your name to my brothers.
In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, praise him.
All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel.
For he was not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted.
And he has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when he cried to him.
From you comes my praise in the great congregation.
My vows I will perform before those who fear him.
The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord.
May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
And all the families of the nations shall worship before you.
For kingship belongs to the Lord.
And he rules over the nations.
All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship.
Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive.
Posterity shall serve him.
It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation.
They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn.
That he has done it.
We pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, to be given into the hands of sinners, and to suffer death on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. We continue our meditation on Psalms for Lent and Holy Week. And Psalm 22 is completely full of prophecies and foreshadowing and direct indications how our Savior would even die. You heard him say his hands and feet were pierced. And so it's very full of prophecies, and we're going to look at and consider some of these. Our Lord on the cross quoted it. My God, why have you forsaken me? And so many parts of it come true. To begin, I reread towards the end of the Psalm 22. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord,
You are our rock and our foundation. Amen. In the blue insert, that whole first page, you can look on at your own time. But what I indicate there in that first page is how many places in the New Testament Psalm 22 is either directly quoted or alluded to. And much of it is with our Lord's death and what he accomplished with his death. In those first verses, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see this, the psalmist, David, feeling at times, believing at times, seeming it looks like at times that God has abandoned him. And our Lord spoke these from the cross. And he talks as if it's continuously, I'm never seeing you, you've abandoned me. And yet, as he believes he's been abandoned, he says in verses 3-5, and yet our fathers trusted in you. And this is important for all of us as Christians and our Lord also. He always was referring back to Moses and Abraham and the things that God had done. God had been faithful to his people throughout all those centuries and millennia. And so also God is faithful to me. And the psalmist says, yes, I feel abandoned, but I know God is faithful. I know he is faithful. But in his suffering, he is suffering horrendous things. When he says in verses 6-7, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. The psalmist writes that his antagonists, that the people who are mocking him and even torturing him, are treating him as if he is not human, that he's below human. They consider me a worm and despise, not a man. And they mock him. And not only they mock him, but they mock his faith in God. This we know happened to our Lord on the cross as well. I read from Matthew 27. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is a king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let him deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. A direct quote from the Psalm 22. But they were not trying to fulfill it in a godly way. They were mocking the Lord's servant, the greatest servant, Jesus. But Jesus knew also that though they mocked him, he was doing his Father's will. He was never outside his Father's will. It was his Father's will that these things would happen. The psalmist says, yet you took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you I was cast from my birth and from my mother's womb. You have been my God. The entire time, Jesus was in his Father's will. From conception to birth to growing up, and knowing that he is in his Father's house as a 12-year-old, and later doing his Father's will during his ministry. So though people are mocking him and mocking his faith, mocking his relationship with the Father, yet he knows he is in his Father's will. When we see those verses about his suffering some more in verses 12 and following, we really see some details prophesied about Jesus on the cross. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dyed up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. Jesus is surrounded by his enemies mocking him. And here we see some descriptions of things that happened to him on the cross. As he's stretched out and is nailed to the cross, you can see his rib cage, you can see his legs, you can see all these bones. He says you can count them. You can see how his innards are suffering from this time on the cross, as the psalmist describes it. You see the time when they cast lots for his garments. In verse 18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. David wrote this, and yet there is no doubt this is about the son of David, his great descendant who was our Savior. But Jesus knows he's in his Father's will. He knows that God has taken care of the faithful in the past in the Old Testament, and yet he is suffering, and he is being tortured on the cross. And again, the psalmist says then, after that verse 18 about his garments, verse 19, but you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. His relationship is still with his Father. And he is in his Father's mouth, in his Father's will. He's saying, save me from the dog and the lion and the wild oxen. Save me from them. Save me from these people. Give me strength. Psalm 22, then, it takes a different track, another track at that point in verses 22 and following. It talks more about the ministry among God's people, my brothers, the great congregation. For King David, he would have recounted the Lord's faithfulness and exhorted the people to praise God. But we know that our Lord Jesus taught in the temple of God. We remember much of the Gospels was during Holy Week in his teaching in the temples, in the temple, giving the Pharisees and Sadducees things to think about. They're going to crucify him soon. But he wants them to know who God is, to praise God. Verse 22, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. The psalmist is saying this about himself, his work. He wants to encourage the people of Israel to truly believe in God. But we see how Christ did this perfectly. Whether people listened or they did not, he said, praise God. What is the greatest commandment? He was asked. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. He was always pointing the Israelites, his people, to worship God. It continues in this psalm about this ministry. In verse 25, For you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. This is what Jesus was doing, carrying out the will of the Father. He would not be stopped. The Israelite would make vows to God and carry those vows out, but Jesus, his whole life, is to do his Father's will. You might say his whole life was a vow, as a relationship with God to carry out this plan of salvation. And where I take the part of the sermon title, where I say, he was forsaken so that we would be embraced. We have seen the forsaken side of it in these verses. But where do I get that idea of being embraced, that we would be embraced? There, we listen to verses 27 and 28. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Do you hear it? It's not only the Israelites, but David, and then Jesus perfectly, wants all the people of the world, God's people, to worship him and know him. And I had never seen it before in verse 28, but think of it in verse 28 where it says, "For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." What does that sound like? That the families of the nations would know that the Lord is king. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. He taught his disciples to pray for God's kingdom to come. This is the ministry of the servant, that he would do, and he would bring God's the prayer to our Heavenly Father, to all people. Verse 29 is, you have to think about it for a bit. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship, all the rich people, all those who are doing okay. Before him shall bow down all who go down to the dust, so also will bow down the poor people who go down to the dust. And then the third line in that verse, even the one who could not keep himself alive, even if you're dying, you're on your deathbed, worship God. 30 and 31, posterity shall serve him, and it shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Jesus told his disciples to take his message, to bear witness to all nations on earth. What? That salvation is accomplished. And to the generations on and on and on, to those yet unborn, the future generations, would hear of God's plan of salvation. As we will meditate upon the seven last words, statements from the cross, we remember that Jesus did this to accomplish salvation for all people, and that those who are alive then would bear witness to the future generations. He suffered in so many ways, as is described in Psalm 22, not just for the sake of suffering, but that it may be accomplished, and that it may be done, and that it may be borne witness to all generations. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we ask you to make known to us all the more what you have accomplished for us in Jesus Christ, your Son, and that his death had a meaning and a goal to save all people, to save us. Bless our meditations upon his words on the cross. Bless our lives to trust in them and trust in all his work. And let us know and be comforted that he has died and suffered because of your great love for us, so that we might be saved. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One note just before we begin singing the next hymn is the hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted, 451. We sing two verses, and then after a few readings, we sing the same hymn. Even though the bulletin says 450, it's still 451, verses 3 and 4. We sing. Thank you.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by men rejected, yes, my soul, 'tis he to see. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it, 'tis the true and faithful word. Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like this? Friends who fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would intervene to save.
But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave.
I read the introduction for the seven words from the cross in the bulletin. The Gospels record Jesus speaking seven times from the cross. Hanging on a cross made even simple breathing painful. To say the seven statements loud enough for people to hear cost Jesus physical pain and grief. Yet his words are full of grace and love for his accusers and torturers, for a great sinner on the cross, and for his mother. His words are full of grief to be separated from his Father. His words are obedience to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. His words declare victory over sin, Satan, and death. His words give up his spirit into his Father's care. The congregation reads the bold print words when we get to them in the readings. The first word from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 38. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. We sing verses 3 and 4, a stricken, smitten, and afflicted.
Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Here we have a firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost. Christ, the rock of our salvation, is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God, for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built.
The second word from Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him,
"Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
The third word, from John chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother,
"Woman, behold your son."
Then he said to the disciple,
"Behold your mother."
And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. We sing verses 1 and 2 of hymn 547. The fourth word, from Matthew chapter 27, verses 41 through 43 and 45 through 47. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." We sing. Thank you.
Lamb, the Lamb, as wayward a sheep their shepherd kill, so still his will on our behalf the law to fill. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne. He sighs, he dies, he takes my sin and wretchedness. He lives, forgives, he gives me his own righteousness. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne.
The fifth word from John chapter 19, verses 28 and 29. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture,
I thirst.
A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. The sixth word from John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said,
It is finished.
And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. We sing verses 1 through 4 of hymn 453.
Upon the cross extended, see, world, your Lord suspended. Your Savior yields his breath, the Prince of Life from heaven, himself has freely given to shame and blows and bitter. See these things and ponder, your soul will fill with wonder as blood streams from each pore through grief beyond all knowing. From his great heart came flowing sighs welling from its deepest core. Lord, that bruised you, who has so sore abused you, and caused you from your woe, we all must make confession of sin and dire transgression, while you know ways of evil. I caused your grief and sighing by evils multiplying, as countless as the sands. I caused the woes unnumbered with which your soul is cumbered, your sorrows raised by wicked hands.
The seventh word from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said,
Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, Certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. We sing.
Your soul in grief's unbounded, your head with thorns surrounded, you died to ransom me, the cross for me enduring, the crown for me securing. You healed my wounds and set me free. Your cords of love, my Savior, bind me to you forever. I am no longer mine, to you I gladly tender all that my life can render, and all I have to you. Your cross I place before me, its saving power restore me. Sustain me in the test, it will when life is ending, be guiding and attending my way to your eternity.
Kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.